Hey, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about Jenny Allen's book, Get Out of Your Head. Sophie, I have to ask, did this one hit you as hard as it hit me?
It really did. I think because she names something we all experience but rarely talk about, that feeling of being trapped in your own thoughts, like a spiral that just keeps going.
Right? And she starts by calling it exactly what it is, a spiral. One anxious thought leads to another. And suddenly you're panicking about something that hasn't even happened.
Exactly. And the hard truth she puts on the table is that we're not victims of our spirals. We're participants. We learn these patterns, which means we can unlearn them.
That's both scary and freeing, isn't it? I mean, I've definitely had those moments where I'm like, why am I even thinking about this? But she says the brain is like a muscle. It can be retrained.
Yes, neuroplasticity, but she grounds it in scripture. She goes to Philippians 4, where Paul talks about thinking on whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely. I always read that as a nice suggestion, but Allen says it's a command, and commands imply obedience is possible.
But how do you actually do that when your mind is flooded with terrifying thoughts? Her answer is that we can't do it alone. We need God's help. And we need practical strategies.
One of the most powerful ideas for me was the distinction between feelings and truth. She says we've been conditioned to treat feelings as facts. If we feel anxious, we assume there's something to be anxious about.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that. I make decisions based on how I feel all the time. But she says feelings are signals, not reliable guides. We have to bring them under the authority of truth.
And that's not denial. It's discipline. She talks about preaching the gospel to yourself, saying things like, I feel anxious, but God is in control. It sounds simple, but it's hard.
Then there's the idea of taking every thought captive. That phrase from 2 Corinthians. She says most of us treat our thoughts like uninvited guests who have full run of the house. But we're the hosts.
Right.
We can open the door to some thoughts and close it to others, but it requires intentionality. She calls it the central skill of the Christian life when it comes to mental health.
One of the strategies that really stuck with me is gratitude, but not in a shallow, think positive way. She calls gratitude a weapon. It's a deliberate act of war against the lies that say we have nothing to be thankful for.
Yes, it shifts our focus from what we lack to what we have. And she says to start small. Name one thing you're grateful for right now, then another. Build the muscle.
Another huge one was the renewal of the mind through scripture. But she's honest that many of us read the Bible without really engaging. We check off our reading plan and move on unchanged.
She advocates for slow, reflective reading, asking questions like, what does this tell me about God? And what is a challenge in the lies I've been believing? That kind of reading actually reshapes your mind.
In community, she says isolation is a breeding ground for spirals. When we keep our thoughts to ourselves, they grow distorted. But when we bring them into the light, they lose their power.
That's terrifying, though. Being vulnerable is hard. But she says just the act of saying something out loud can break its hold on you.
She also hits on comparison, which is so relevant with social media. She says comparison is one of the primary drivers of anxiety and discontentment. The antidote isn't to try harder, it's to embrace that your worth comes from being a child of God.
And that frees you to celebrate other people's successes without feeling threatened. I need that reminder daily.
She also talks about our past wounds. She doesn't say just think positive. She says identify the lies you've believed from trauma or rejection and replace them with truth. That's a process.
And it often requires professional help and community support. She's not offering a quick fix, but she says healing is possible because God is in the business of restoring broken lives.
There's also a section on control. So much of our anxiety comes from trying to control outcomes. She says the only way to peace is surrendering control to God. Not being passive, but trusting that He's good even when we don't understand.
That's the essence of faith, isn't it? And she has this great image of the thought garage. Our minds are like garages cluttered with junk. We have to go through and decide what stays and what goes.
Yeah. Asking, is this true? Is this helpful? Is this from God? If not, throw it out. It's exhausting work, but liberating.
She also emphasizes speaking truth out loud. Thoughts become more powerful when we say them aloud. That's why the enemy wants us to keep lies in the dark.
So she encourages developing a vocabulary of truth. Simple phrases like, God is with me, or I am love that can anchor you in a storm.
And the practice of pausing. When you feel the spiral starting, stop. Take a breath. Ask yourself what you're thinking and whether it's true. That pause creates space for choice.
I love that she also talks about physical health. She says lack of sleep, poor nutrition, and no exercise can contribute to anxiety. Taking care of your body is a spiritual discipline.
It's all connected. The book concludes with a call to action, creating a personal plan, identifying specific lies, finding scripture to counter them, building support, developing daily habits.
For me, the one takeaway is that I don't have to be a prisoner of my thoughts. I have authority over my mind, and with God's help, I can retrain it.
And if you want to go deeper, the whole library is over at 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It's $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access.
That's a great resource. Sophie, what's your final thought on the book?
It's a book about hope. It takes our struggles seriously, but doesn't let them have the final word. The battle for our minds is real, but the victory is already won. We just have to learn to live in it. We'll see you in the next one.